Religion seems to be an issue in this year's election campaign, even if it doesn't always go by that name. There are candidates for election to governorships, Congress, and the White House who say that their positions on issues that include gay marriage, stem cell research, and the war on terrorism derive from religious principles. The role of religion in the politics of a country with so many religions is the subject of a new book just published by the Brookings Institution. It's called One Electorate Under God. There's a question mark at the end of that sentence. To reflect on the placement of that question mark, we're joined now by two of the elected officials who've contributed chapters from their different perspectives. David Price is a Democrat from North Carolina. He holds a divinity degree from Yale and was a professor of political science and public policy at Duke University before he was elected to Congress in 1986. He joins us from the studios of WUNC in Chapel Hill. Mr. Price, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Mark Sauter is a Republican from Indiana, who's chairman of the Government Reform Subcommittee on Criminal Justice, Drug Policy, and Human Resources. Mr. Sauter joins us from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Mr. Sauter, thank you very much for being with us.
Good to be here.
Mr. Price, reading your essay, I must say I was left with a sense of a man who works hard to put his faith into practice in politics, but who also works conscientiously to keep his faith out of areas where you think it doesn't have any pertinence.
Well, that's not quite the way I would frame it, although we have, for very good historical reasons, determined that the establishment of religion is something that we will not countenance, the state establishment of religion. And so we have to ask the question, when do I push to enact what may be religiously grounded precepts and principles into civil law, and when do I demur? When do I decide that it's appropriate to simply leave conscience free? And the motivations that bring people into politics often are tied to religious experience. And certainly central to the Jewish and Christian faith is a sense that no man's cause or power is to be identified with God's will. That's not a secular imposition. That's central to our theological beliefs themselves, that people are sinful. If you look back in American history, I think the most inspiring example possibly we could point to would be Abraham Lincoln and his second inaugural, right at the close of the Civil War. There was not any question at all that Abraham Lincoln was devoted to the cause of the Union, devoted to eradicating slavery. But at the same time, there was this remarkable sense that ultimately judgment belongs to God alone. You remember that famous quote where he was asked if God was on his side, and he said, no, the important question is, are we on God's side?
But see, we have a fundamental difference here. Congressman Price's religious faith says that he can't and shouldn't bring it into certain public debates, and that is a religious view. But he wants to exclude my religious view, which says that I have an obligation to bring that into the table on a homosexual debate, on an abortion debate. I have an obligation to bring my faith into the debate. His religious tradition is saying that he shouldn't. William Lloyd Garrison drove the slavery issue and the abolitionist movement, and it isn't clear if Abraham Lincoln would have chosen union with slavery had not the abolitionists, driven by religious fervor, forced that.
Well, I'm not, with due respect, Mark, I'm not suggesting that you don't have a right to bring any issue or any conviction into the public arena. What I have said is that in a pluralistic democracy, one does attempt to appeal to more widely shared values. And the notion that in seeking that common ground that we're somehow compromising, I think that would come as news to William Lloyd Garrison or to Frederick Douglass.
I want to ask you each in turn a hypothetical question, but given the fact that you're public servants, maybe it's not altogether hypothetical. Mr. Sauter, if you had been representing Indiana back, let's say, in the 1830s, and there were Mormon families that were moving west that would say to you, look, what's wrong with polygamy? Not hurting anyone? Let us alone. This is our faith.
We all should understand that there are guidelines that we should all follow, and we would hope that we would follow those guidelines, but we do not know. And even somebody like myself who's saying, look, I believe there are specific things that we are commanded to do in Scripture and speak out, well, we better be praying about it, and we better be thinking about it really humbly before we plunge in and start claiming God's on our side. But it doesn't mean that that keeps us from being able to speak out. I believe that the New Testament believes that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that when we define the marriage laws, we should speak out. I also believe the way they were persecuted and tormented was wrong. There's a mix
Mormons,
here
you mean, yes.
The Mormons. And yeah. I believe the grounds of marriage is defined by the society as a whole, and as long as those traditions are based in the Judeo-moral Christian principles that this country was founded upon, we'll have a traditional marriage. To the degree we become more and more different religions or secular religions, we'll see standards fail.
Mr. Price, you're from 4th District of North Carolina.
That's right.
If you represented your district, let's say back in 1855, there were Quakers all throughout North Carolina who would hide escaped slaves as they were working their way north in what was called the Underground Railroad. Would you have said to one of these Quaker families in 1855, look, I appreciate deeply the principles that have moved you to hide slaves, but the fact is this is a slaveholding state. Slavery is legal. You can't do that. You have to give that person up.
I hope I would not have done that. To tell you the truth, I've often wondered where I would have been political if I'd come along a decade earlier. You know, if I hadn't had that experience to shake me up of the civil rights movement in the early 60s, would I have settled into a far more accepting pattern of the mores of this region? I hope not. But I think one learns studying history to be pretty humble about claiming what one would have done in a different time and place. But I certainly hope that I would have had the moral fiber, the moral insight to stand up for that kind of resistance.
There are people who despair when religious issues, religious principles begin to become enunciated in political campaigns because they really are concerned that in this society with so many religions, major and literally hundreds of smaller faiths, that there is a real chance that disputes about issues would become religious controversies, and even people will begin to take sanctimonious positions that would, in a sense, prevent the compromise and the give and take that's so necessary in a democracy. I wonder if either of you gentlemen have that concern or don't have that concern at all. Mr. Sauter?
What we have to have is a tradition of public debate, gracious losers, gracious winners. We're so interconnected that we have to be able to practice our faith, but we better be careful or we could wind up like the countries around the world where they have religious wars constantly.
Mr. Price?
I think we need to be forthright about the wellsprings of our political motivation, but we also need at the same time to be inclusive and to reach out to those whose traditions and whose backgrounds are different. And I think the basic experience of American democracy is that that common ground is often, even usually, to be found.
Can I make one brief comment that from the dissenting tradition has a little bit different view of this, because what we see as moving towards common ground often means a backing away of moral foundations. And that's why you see so many people of deeply conservative faith becoming more upset at the system, is that what we see is common ground means we give up our position on homosexuality, we compromise our positions on pornography, we give up our position on pro-life. Common ground never seems to move towards the conservative position, it seems to move to the liberal position.
Gentlemen, thank you both very much.
Thank you. It's very enjoyable.
Thank you.
Congressman David Price of North Carolina and Mark Sauter of Indiana. They both have essays that appear in a new book by the Brookings Institution, One Electorate Under God, A Dialogue on Religion and American Politics.